Joining us in the studio is Paul Lundgren. He is the State Wildfire Section Manager. Paul, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. The first question I want to ask you is, have we ever had a non-fire-threatening spring?
No, I don't think we've ever had one that's non-threatening. In fact, one of the messages here I'd like to share today is the importance that there's always risk. And, you know, so whether it's the spring or the summer or the fall, every time you go to burn a debris pile, whatever those plans are outdoor that involve fire, you need to kind of think first and have a plan. So,
all right. So what's the spring looking like?
Well, as everyone knows, winter seemed not really wanting to end. We had snow way into April, which is traditionally, you know, we're fairly snow-free here late March in early April. And we kind of go through those spring days of where you get some 40s and 50s. And this year, that really never happened. It stayed cold for an unusually long period of time. Lots of ice on the lakes, a lot of snow on the ground. But then when it did leave towards the third part of April, it got warm quick. You know, went back up to the normal temperatures, which by then were into the upper 50s and 60s. And so that warm-up, you might say, into a fire season really never occurred for us. We went from having some snow on the ground to a lot of fires in a short period of time with temperatures that were back into the normal range for this time of year and above average.
So do having the restrictions that we need to follow, does that really help?
It does. You know, restrictions, we put burning restrictions kind of a blanket, so a period of time each spring, going back to 2002. And since that time, you know, they've had a real impact. Probably average number of fires across the state continues to reduce. We've come down over that time. But really, the restrictions, what we saw was about a 30% decrease in fires each spring. And a lot of those fires are the result of debris burning.
So it's the opening of fishing, big time this weekend. What do they need to know?
Well, I think everyone needs to, of course, you know, they're going out on the water, so be safe there. But they're coming north. And one of the things we see is people may leave where they're at. It may be more green. The grass is starting to turn green, you know, even up here. We've had a little bit of moisture the last couple of days, starting to see leaves come out on the trees. But as they come north, they want to know what they can and can't do locally regarding, you know, fires. And even if it's just they're having that campfire in the evening, that they make sure that's out, you know, when they're done at night and they check it again in the morning. Have a water source there so they can make sure that's out before they head out onto the water.
So you can have a campfire now?
You can, yep. You know, restrictions are in place here in the local area and across most of the state right now. Really, every county has restrictions in place except for the very southern part of the state, so from the metro south. And what that means is you need a burning permit. Anytime there's not 3 inches of snow on the ground. And when restrictions come into place, it means that restrictions aren't going to be provided like they normally are. Restrictions being you could get a permit for special circumstances. We call it a variance. And there are reasons why, whether it's agriculturally related, management-wise, or you might say even where a developer is clearing something. They may need to remove material. They like to burn that or need to burn it in order to keep going. They can get a variance permit at their DNR forestry office from a local forester or check with the city and what the regulations are where they're at. So restrictions just mean we're not giving out very many permits. And it cuts down a number of people burning those debris piles. Our records indicate, you know, about 40% of our fires come from debris burning. That's a very high percentage. It's the highest cause. And so even just having that restriction period, and right now we're in it. It's early yet in May. Our season was a little bit delayed, but we're catching up. You know, it's warm temperatures. You can see things starting to come to life.
So even someone who has burned for a long time, knows what restrictions are, takes all the safety precautions, things can get away from you. Can you kind of tell us like a typical situation maybe where someone thinks it's fine and it does get away from them?
Sure. I think sometimes people think about fire danger as in forest fires. And it's certainly the case, but it's the grasses, especially in the spring. Those fine fuels left over from last year, they're cured, they're dry, they have no ability to absorb moisture. You know, they may be wet, say in the morning or after a rainfall, but they dry out quickly. And grasses are what allows a lot of our debris piles, debris fires to spread. And so that debris burning, somebody may do it safe. They may do it in the evening with a permit, you know, when restrictions aren't in place. In the evening, the humidity is typically up, temperature comes down, better conditions, less risk for spread. But even those small piles, as they burn down, and they would show no existence of heat or smoke, like they're out, it's that next day. So people, you know, burn at night, they figure, you know, over that night it went out. But if you don't check it in the morning, don't put water on it when you're done at night, those are the things that cause us the problems the next day. Because then again, that sun comes out, temperature goes up, humidity comes down, and those fires spread. And, you know, I've been doing this for 22 years in a field, and I've had more than my share of occasions where you're standing next to a somebody who did have a permit and a fire got away from them and we're there. And, you know, I hear all the time, I didn't think it would spread. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was this bad. And those are the things we want to make sure don't happen. I'd like to add the public safety part of it, too. You know, we've been doing this for a long time. And that was one of the original bases for the Division of Forestry, what it is today, and that was wildfire protection and suppression. So when you think about public safety, it goes back to those large fires in the late 1800s and early 1900s where people lost their lives and communities were destroyed. You know, that's still our first mission is to protect people, their values, our communities, and then the resources as well.
We're speaking with State Wildlife Section Manager Paul Lundgren. Paul, what happens, you don't necessarily want to visit this, but what happens if somebody does start a fire and it causes extensive damage? How are people held liable at all for instances like that?
They are.
And to what extent? What does that mean?
Well, so there's the criminal side, which is citation.
If they did a burning permit, if they did it without a burning permit, are you automatically cleared of that? If you have a burning permit?
No. So, you know, and those are good questions. So on the criminal side, and, you know, it's kind of like getting a traffic ticket or something like that. So if you burn without a permit, but that's really, you know, we try and promote the educational aspect. The enforcement side is certainly part of that job. But then comes the responsibility of those suppression efforts. And so if someone is responsible for causing that fire, they're held responsible for the suppression part of it. That's our cost to come. And, you know, that can range from $150 to $200 up into the thousands, up into the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you bring up a good point about a permit. A permit, anytime there's not snow on the ground, you need one. So think about that. Other than a campfire, campfire is defined as a small fire, cleared vegetation around it, you know, for recreating, enjoying, cooking, warming, things like that. You know, in a debris piles, when you are trying to remove yard debris, you have a pile or a large pile, small piles, but all of them come with risk. And so a permit, by the virtue of having to get a permit, it gives you the opportunity to look at what you're responsible for on that permit. It really spells it out, what you can and can't burn, when you can burn, when you can't burn. things like where the smoke is going. Is that going to bother your neighbor? And if it does, you shouldn't be burning. Uh-huh. And then we'll take care of, we get called, come out, and we'll revoke that permit, you know, inform you of why, make sure that fire's out, and things like that. And so, you know, even over the weekend, I'm sure even though there's restrictions in place, you know, we'll get called because someone is burning during the day and maybe doesn't know about restrictions, maybe doesn't know about the burning permit. So I really appreciate the opportunity to get to come here, try and inform people ahead of time, not only of the statutes, the regulations, but also about the risk that's involved, and thinking about that before you actually go out and do the burning.
Most people listening right now are thinking we're painting a picture of everything's done in the country, out in the woods and stuff. What about in the city of Grand Rapids and the city of Bemidji? Somebody wants to burn something in their yard, whether it's just having a little thing there and they're putting all their little branches in there and burning. Do they have the same restrictions as anybody else?
What I would say to that is, you know, every city may not have individual ordinances, and they may just follow, so you get a permit just like you would in a country through the DNR, but many don't. Many have their own ordinances. So what you really want to do is, if you're in those city limits, is to check. And you can check, you know, at the city office, possibly the fire department, or your local forestry offices. They can let you know if there's separate ordinances. I know in certain places there are and they're not, and in others they're not. But instead of trying to describe each and every one, I think what the message is to make a phone call first. There's websites, DNR websites. We can refer you there where you can look at the restrictions and what goes into that. The other thing is, you know, take time to make a phone call. There's always time to do that ahead if you plan ahead. And I think that's the other thing is, sometimes people think, oh, it's a good time to go burn right now. Especially when they see green grass starting to come up in the yards. Mm-hmm. You've really noticed that over the last week and a half. And just because your yard is green doesn't mean that a fire wouldn't spread. Certainly green grass isn't going to spread as far as fast as cured grass. But there's still dead grasses out there. And if you look across, you know, road ditches, across swamps right now, lowland areas, you don't see the green grass coming up. You still see that old dead stuff standing. And right now you can see through the woods very good. You know, I think about that stuff, you know, driving to and from work and at home. Really when it starts to become more safe is when leaf out has occurred, full leaf out, and then we get adequate moisture after that. Because then that sun can't penetrate the forest floor and things like that. The other thing is, all the vegetation's working hard right now. It's trying to produce leaves. It's bringing a lot of moisture out of the ground to utilize that energy to produce leaves. And so when that's happening this spring, the ground is drying out faster all the time as well. You know, and as you get through spring, things start to normalize. But this, traditionally this time of year, and again, we're a little bit late because snow stayed so long, is when, you look at the second half of April and the first half of May, that's traditionally when we have the most activity.
So remind us how to get a permit.
So a number of different ways to get a permit. There are township fire wardens scattered across the country. That's one way. You can go online and apply for a permit.
It's very convenient.
It is. And we see that being used more and more. Certainly there's convenience stores in different places where they say there's state fire warden and you can go in there and get a permit from there. Local forestry offices. We have forestry offices scattered all across the state. And that's a good place to go in. And then you can visit with someone as well about what you're burning and so forth. And a lot of times, you know, some of those conversations are about why you can't burn, why it's not safe to burn right now, and why there aren't other alternatives have you thought of to instead of having to burn that debris pile. I know lots of people like to get things done in the spring, but we're really looking out the best we can, trying to for everyone and make sure they're aware of the risk, aware of the laws, and then again, explain why this time of year We just don't hand out permits, and we're in a restriction period.
Speaking of risk and speaking of, just before we let you go, what kind of accelerant should you use and not use to start a fire?
Well, I want...
Why are you laughing?
So I wouldn't... This kind of goes back to public safety. I wouldn't utilize any accelerant. You know, starting campfires, there's good ways to do that, and there's not so good ways to do that. You know, they have fire starter sticks, things like that. I also think, you know, on a safety side is, especially if there's young people around, when you're making those decisions, they see that. Mm-hmm. And when they see someone that's older than them, that they respect and so forth, doing it that way, they tend to follow that.
Guaranteed.
I think that's something you want to be very aware of. I know I am with my kids, always have been, setting a good example, not just telling them why they can't start a fire, but explaining why and some of that stuff that goes with that. So enjoy the weekend. It sounds like it's going to be okay for the opener and things like that. And you can have campfires. I did want to, before I go, you know, when I look at our website, it's an excellent place to go. On that website, you're going to see a couple maps. One is a fire danger rating map. Another one is a burning permit restrictions map, which will let you know that a burning permit is required throughout the state of Minnesota at a minimum when there's not snow on the ground, 3 inches.
What's that website?
I don't have it right from here, www.dnr, and they'll bring you into the main page. On that main page, there is a link to our current wildfire conditions right now this time of year, so you can click on that and get to that.
Wow. And keep your cigarettes in the car.
I was just going to say that.
Jeez.
Yeah. I'm sure, Paul, you're like John, where that really angers you when you see a car in front of you flicking out. You can tell it's a lit or still some fire involved there.
Right. No, you know, everyone, there's a number of different ways to be safe. And what we're asking folks is just to think first. And if you're not sure, have any questions, make that phone call, make that visit, take some time and do that before you go out and do any burning.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, I hope you get some sleep this season.
That's Paul Lundgren. He's the State Wildlife Section Manager. Wildfire, excuse me, Section Manager. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.